introduce our first speaker, who is Rita. I'm Rita and I'm an addict. This room is a little bigger than I expected. And, like, good gracious. I'm real, real honored to be here. And I was just talking to Doug and saying, you know, I'm not used to sharing unless something is going on with me. You know, and to be asked to share. And somebody asked you like a couple of weeks ago or a week ago or whatever. And, you know, and I've been thinking. And I had some good stuff to share, you know. I really did, you know, and I have even been at work, like, writing down little, you know, just little notes, you know, okay, where, you know, when I think of something, reflect back on my life, I said, well, you know, I could think about this, you know, and I went through any lengths to do that, you know, but I can't think of none of it now, you know, none of it. So when Karen said, you shared 30 minutes, I said, oh, my God, how in the world you do that, you know, but I don't know. I do know about going to any lengths, you know, and really what I was reflecting on is you know, how I grew up. And, you know, I grew up a little girl with not living with my mother, you know, always living with other family members and not knowing my father, and grew up in my household with all of my family, my cousins, and all of them knew their fathers and were going out, you know, and doing stuff with their fathers. And, you know, and so I grew up this little girl feeling bad about myself. And at a very young age, you know, I was real determined to be sure that I was going to prove that I'm okay. So I set out at a real young age going to any lengths, you know, to prove that I'm okay. And one of those little notes I wrote down was about when I used to play jacks. You know, I was little, and I mean, I was the jacks champion. I'm not joking. But I was so obsessed with it, because I'm an addict. I know now I've been an addict, you know, and I was so obsessed with I had to be the best at jacks. So my mother kept telling me, don't sit on that ground. You know how your grandmother said, you're going to get the piles. You know, they were telling me things, you know, you're going to get this. This is going to happen to you. But I was determined, I don't care what it took, I was going to be the champ. And I sat on that ground from the time I got home from school till when the streetlights came on. And then on the weekends, I got out there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I sat, and I was going to any lengths. I was going to win at that jacks tournament. But when the time came for the tournament, I had developed the piles, you know. And you know, and I went in the house one day, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, I'm saying, Mom, what's wrong with me? And I couldn't sit still in the chair. I couldn't sit still, and she had to rush me to the hospital, and it's something to do with your nerves. I don't know if y'all ever heard of that, you know, but that's where I started, going to any lengths to get whatever I needed to make me feel better. And I don't know, I can think about going to any lengths out there more so as, you know, like right now. Although I know since being here, I've gone to some lengths to stay here, you know, because I struggled a lot. I was introduced to this program in about 1985, 86, something like that. And I've been in and out of a lot of treatment centers and methadone clinics and, you know, and I've been in and out in jails and close to death, you know, and just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I don't know when, let me back up a bit. Out there, when I really got out there, when things got bad, put it that way, because in the beginning for me it wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad. And when I decided that I was gonna live the life of Bonnie and Clyde, you know, really what I wanted to do was be Billie, like Billie Holiday. That's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be this star, and I used to watch these people that lived upstairs from me, and they had these guys, they were coming in and out with furs on and diamonds and pulling up in Cadillacs, and I was about 13 years old, and I said, I'm going to be like that. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to be like that. I'm going to get with those people up there no matter what it takes. And I watched them, and I watched them, and I could not wait for one of them to open their doors to me and let me in. And as soon as I said something to them, and as soon as I went up to their apartment, I was shooting dope. I ain't start out smoking weed. I ain't start out with the drinking. I went right up there and I shot some dope. And I'm saying, I watched them. I used to sit on the curb and I used to stand in the hallway, you know, and I was waiting on them to connect with me because I was determined I was going to get with that. And I got with them. And in that process, when I got with them, you know, things were pretty good in the beginning because I was this young, pretty, red, bow-legged girl over there in Southeast. And all of the guys that had it wanted me. No. Oh, Lord. You know, but I never ever thought that I would have to say that all of the guys that had it not only wanted me, but they had me, you know, and I didn't think that I was going to get to that point. You know, I used to watch other people, and like I said, I started out in Southeast, but by the time I was 16, I was up on 14th Street, and I was in the White Law. And I was running around up and down T Street, and, you know, I thought I was the stuff at that time. So as I was watching other people when they were, like, developing abscesses and, you know, they were looking bad and, you know, all that stuff I said I wasn't doing, you know, I said, I ain't gonna never get like that. You know, before I get like that, I'm gonna stop. But by the time I developed my first abscess, and I really did want to stop. I really didn't want it to go no further. But by that time, I had developed this attitude of no matter what you got to do to get it, you got to do it. You know, no matter what it is, just you got to do it. And that's how my life went. From the age of 17 on to now, I'm pretty young now, though, you know, but from the age of 17 on, that's what I did. I went to any lengths to use. Any lengths to use. I ain't want to go to school. I didn't want to be involved with no family members. I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to have a job. I didn't want nothing. All I wanted to do was be high and not feel the way I was feeling about me. You know, I found out later, like in this process now, that I actually, everything was because of how I was feeling about me. And I didn't want to feel that way. You know, I always felt less than people. I always felt like, I was real envious of other people, always, you know, and I always wanted what somebody else had. So my journey was going to any lengths to get what you had out there, you know, any lengths. I remember when I was on 14th Street, and there was this one girl, and, you know, she was the hit doctor. And I said, I ain't going to never, ever get like that, not ever. I'm just not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to. I'm telling you, if it get that bad, I'll kill myself first. That's what I said. I'm not going to get like that. And, you know, and I used to go in there, and she used to hit me. And everybody, you know, we used to be in there, and she would unwrap her bandages and go right there, and you'll see the vein. I know it's pretty graphic, but it's real. You know, and she would lift the vein right up and go right in it. I said, good God Almighty, how can somebody do that? You know, but I ended up doing that. You know, I ended up doing that. I never, ever thought that I would end up the way that I ended up. You know, I had children, and my first child, as a teenager, damn, there's too many people in here. As a teenager, I kind of pushed him to the street. You know, and by then I was really, really on it. And I couldn't stop, no matter how many programs, no matter how many people had tried to help me. And, you know, I really didn't want to do the things that I was doing, but by then I was so caught up that I found myself sleeping with my son's friends. You know, and I was like, good God, how can a woman do that? But I'm talking about I was going to any lengths to use, no matter what. And then I had another child. And after the things I did with that first one, I said, all right, I ain't going to do this like this time. This child, this is going to be different. This one going to make me better. You know, I'm going to be a better woman, a better person. And I had another child, and the whole time, as much as I didn't want to shoot no dope, and I didn't want to drink no meth, and I didn't want to take none of them Xanax, and I didn't want to drink no Wild Eyes Rose. I really didn't. But I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop it. And when I had him, and I remember in the delivery, when the doctor grabbed him and shot him all the way over to the other end of the room, and I heard him saying, like, oh, shit. You know, and I looked, and the first thing I thought is I had one of them It's Alive babies. You know, I said, oh, Lord, look what I done now. You know I got to stop now. You know, what am I going to do? You know, and I did not want to see that baby. I really didn't, because I knew the things that I had done. I knew at that point that I really thought that my life was just going, I would end up out there the rest of my life till I just fall out and die. And I really wanted to die. I was afraid to look at that baby. I was so afraid. And they brought him over there to me, and he was the prettiest thing you ever want to see. I mean, he was the prettiest little baby. And after a couple of days of being in the hospital, my mind was on, all right, I had him now. Who going to bring me some dope? Who going to get him when I get ready to go? You know, I'm talking about I was going to Indianapolis to continue to keep doing what I was doing. You know, I got little spurts of, you know, a conscious and feeling bad and not wanting to live that way no more. But basically, I was consumed with going to any lengths to use. And I was holding him, and I was feeding him. And I looked, and he pushed his little arm out. And I looked. I said, oh, my God. He didn't have but one arm. I was so ashamed. I felt so bad. Oh, God. I really didn't want to live then. And I really, at that point, I said, that's it. I ain't going to stop shooting no dope. I'm going to shoot dope till I die. I cannot stand to keep seeing what I keep doing to people, to my loved ones. I just couldn't stand it. And I ain't want to stop then. You know, I just wanted to shoot dope until I die. And God had another plan for me. He kept on bringing me back here. You know, I'm looking around the room, you know, and I see people I first started out with. And, you know, and I had a hard, hard time. I'm not joking. You know, I remember when I was, I'm going back and forth, but I just looked at somebody and it just hit me. And I remember when we was in this program over St. Elizabeth, and they used to make us get up in the morning, you know, you got to walk through the hallway and go take a shower, you know. And I'm riddled with abscesses, and I'm saying, I can't do that in front of those people. I just can't do it. And I was determined I wasn't going to do it. I don't know. I looked up, and I was doing it, walking down to the shower with everybody else and sharing with people what I was feeling. And still, it didn't make me feel better at that time. You know, it just didn't. I saw everybody else, like, adapting to the program, living the program, you know. But for me, I didn't think that the program was ever going to work for me. I just didn't. I really didn't think Narcotics Anonymous would work for me because I had tried so many times, and I had been in so many programs. So I really had resigned myself to, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to sleep with whoever I got to sleep with. I'm going to steal whatever I got to steal. I'm going to lie about whatever I got to lie about. And I'm going to have me some dope till the day I die. And that is all I knew. I want dope till the day I die. I really wanted to die like Billie Holiday. I really, really did. But then in the journey, I met some people. I was introduced to a person, and they told me, you need to ask this person to sponsor you. And I asked him to sponsor me, and I hung out with him and his wife and friends, and people were, like, loving me, and they were holding on to me, and I really thought when I met them that I was going, that was it. I was coming here this time, and I was going to stay here. You know, I really thought that, and I remember I was in this program again, and they used to come and visit me, you know, and I was working on this job. The stuff that I would do to sneak and use, I'm talking about going to any lengths. I would climb out a window, climb back in the windows. You know, I would sit there through all kind of groups and meetings. She hit me with a dry mouth. Huh? If I do that, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. anyway, you know, I did anything to use. I did anything to get what I needed to get. But during the process, like I said, I met a sponsor. I got involved in the program. I got in service. We were doing step work. You know, my sponsor was coming over to the program to meet with me and everything. And they said, and you know, people kept saying, people need those old people, places, and things alone, right? But I said, well, I'm doing all this other stuff, so why I got to leave my man alone? You know, why? Nobody else ain't going to want me. That's going to be the only person that's going to want me. And I did everything y'all said do except leave that man alone. And I looked up, and everything was going good. Everything. I was going to school for telecommunications. I had a pretty good little job, considering I never worked in my life. You know, I had a lot of people in my life. And as soon as I graduated from this particular class, right over there in Potomac Gardens, right where I came from, and I was feeling good. You know, I know I done beat it this time because I ain't thinking about using. And I walked out that door one day, and something said, go on over there to 1,000. You know, out of nowhere. You know, just out of nowhere. And what I did at that time, I'm talking about going to any length. I would go get my urine on Monday morning at 7 o'clock, be the first one. Rush out of there and run to the bank to get some money. Run up 5 flights of steps, you know, huffing and puffing. I mean, running. I ain't get on no elevator because I ain't want to run into nobody. And I run up there and I stand in the hallway in the dark up there in the garden. And I was waiting to see the right person I could give my money to. And I give my money and I smoke some crack, feel that pain in my heart, run back down the steps, run back over to the school. And I was all right. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about all I did was go to any lengths to use. So when I was asked to do this, I said, what in the world am I going to share about? But the thing was, when I got here, I realized that I got that kind of determination. You know, I go to any lengths to do whatever it is I'm trying to do. You know, when I'm focused on I'm trying to do this, I'm going to go to whatever lengths it takes. But at that time, my determination and my commitment was focused in the wrong area, you know, was focused the wrong way. And I know that today. And I know that that is an asset of mine, that I'm willing to go any lengths today. I was willing then. You know, I was. I don't know about nobody else. Other people had things they wouldn't do. I ain't had nothing I wouldn't do. You know, not nothing. But when I got here this time, I had been thoroughly whooped. I'm not joking. Thoroughly whooped. I was tired of feeling that way. And so when I got here, she getting ready to whip the 5-minute thing on me? Good. Anyway, I had really been thoroughly whipped. And I don't know, all of those times that I had been in and out and in and out and in and out, you know, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't stop. And people kept telling me I just hadn't surrendered yet. And I kept wondering why they couldn't tell me how I could surrender. But when I got here this time, I knew in my heart and in my gut that I had just had enough. I had enough of looking at my kids feeling the way I was feeling, you know, feeling sorry for myself. I had enough of hurting other people. I had enough of just being out there smelling bad and looking bad and walking around with all them abscesses all open on me. I just had enough. And when I got here this time, I surrendered. And that's when I really developed an attitude of going to any lengths, you know, because when I got here, I was on the run. And, you know, I got clean first because my mind said I'm going to go to jail and that's where I'm going to be the rest of my life because I can't do it out there, you know. But God saw fit to send me another way. And I had to go back to jail 3 times. Here, clean. And one of those times I was in the jail where it was contact visits. Everybody in there had a package. Everybody was nodding. None of y'all wasn't there. Not nobody wasn't in recovery on this unit I was on. Nobody. And you talking about going to any lengths to stay here. I must have ran up everybody's phone bill. You know, normally I wouldn't have done that, you know, because my image say you don't call nobody like that unless you're calling for a particular thing and that's that. I was calling and crying every day. I can't take this no more. I ain't a Viking no more. You know, and I ain't a Viking no more. You know, I'm really not, because I thought I was a Viking. I really did, but I couldn't take it anymore, and I had surrendered, and I stayed away from those people, right there, right beside me. You know, I'm talking about going to any lengths. I stayed on the phone. I was writing people. They started, H&I was bringing in the meetings, and somehow I kept getting on that list to get off that unit to get to the meetings, and then I got out of there, and it was like so much going on. When I got out, I ain't had nowhere to live. And they say, well, what you going to do? I went to the shelter. You know, I had this guy say, you can come stay with me for until you get on your feet. So, you know, I say, well, I wonder if I don't get on my feet fast enough for him, what he going to do? You know, so, because me, I get comfortable with you taking care of me. But this time, I've been going to any lengths to recover, take care of me, to do the things that I need to do. I got a job I've been on for some years now. You know, I manage the whole office. I bomb my boss out a lot, but for real, I like the position I'm in. You know, I really do. I like what it does for me and my self-esteem. My job is not who I am, but my job helps me because I never, ever was able to hold a job. I didn't even know nothing about even looking for a job. So it helps me. And I go to any lengths to stay here. I help other people. I got a lot of women in my life. I got a lot of support. I'm not joking. Good gracious. You know, a whole lot of support. I know that the day that I'm loved, you know I don't have to do all that stuff like swing from chandeliers and stand on my head for you and none of that, you know, not none of that. Because today I'm living better than I ever lived in my life. And I go to any depths to stay here. You know, I do what y'all tell me to do. I go to meetings regularly. You know, I'm actively involved in STEP. We're actively involved with helping other people. You know, actively involved with allowing people in my life, you know, and allowing people to help me. And, am I finished? Oh, God. Okay, let me just tell y'all one more thing about me. You know, I'm in college now. And I started out, and I was just telling somebody in the hallway about that, about, you know, on this job, I started doing accounting and, you know, messing with the man's money and, you know, and I started learning some things. So somebody said, well, why don't you go take an accounting class? I said, all right. And I tried it. Couldn't get it. You know, and for a minute, it made me feel bad, you know, but I kept trying. I went back and I passed that accounting class. And then they said, now you got to take accounting too. So I tried it and I tried it. And I couldn't get it, and I wasn't feeling it. So I said, well, let me see what I can use what I already got and try for something else. So now I'm majoring in business management, and I'm getting A's. That's right. And I still don't know if that's my passion, but I know that I don't want to live the way I was, so I go to any lengths to stay here and do something to get better with me. And those kind of things, although y'all might say it's some outside stuff. If you've been where I've been, accomplishing things like that is some inside stuff. You know. I'm gonna time up now, right? See, I'm ready to roll now. She said it's time to stop. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
That was awesome, Rita. Thank you very much for sharing with us. Now we have our second speaker, Doug, and you got a tough act to follow. Here you go, Doug.
I'm an addict. My name is Doug. And that is a tough act to follow. We were talking before we got started. She's like, I don't know why they asked me. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I mean, I could walk out of here right now, and I heard enough. But they asked me to come here too. Wow, this is a big room. I spoke at this convention. I was thinking when that was. I think it was in 92. So it's been a little while since I spoke at a convention, and a lot has changed. I've watched this convention center get rebuilt a few times, and the room is a lot bigger, and there's no smoking. I kind of like that now, but I didn't like it back then. It was nice when I smoked. But I have to remind myself when I struggle in recovery today, and I think about, you know, what the next right thing for me to do is, and what I need to be doing for my recovery. I have to reach back to what I was willing to do when I was out there. My growing up was a little different, or a lot different from Rita's. That's not where I grew up. But I know from working the steps that I used because I didn't like how I felt. And I haven't concluded entirely why I grew up feeling the way I did. The reality is that the way I felt was uncomfortable, and I went to any lengths to feel different. And whether that was using or dating or working or running away, I mean, not for exercise, I was willing to do whatever it took. And from an early age, and I mentioned running because at an early age, that's what I did. I don't know, it was like, I don't feel comfortable right here. I'm going somewhere, wherever it is, not here. And that somewhere could be, you know, from running away from home to, going and getting stoned to, any number of escapes. And I was willing to do anything. And without going into a whole lot of history, I left home when I was 15 years old. At the time, I lived out in Washington State. I grew up in Maryland for the most part, but I happened to be living out there. And all I can remember, the thoughts going through my head at that time, was that there's a lot of consequences from my behavior and from my actions that were leading to, you know, getting kicked out of school, getting suspended, getting locked up, getting in fight, just all the consequences that we suffer as a result of our behavior. And I wasn't liking it, but I wasn't taking responsibility for it. It was always, my father, the school, this or that. It was always all this outside stuff. And I can just remember thinking, I just want to be on my own. I just want to be free. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I don't want to answer to anybody anymore. I'm tired of it. That's the way I viewed my world. I'm okay. You guys are screwed up, and I don't want to listen to you anymore. And so to go to any lengths, I left. And without going into details, but as a result, my mother, who had custody of me from a divorce, had me emancipated. Which means at 15 years old, she was not going to take responsibility for anything I was ever going to do. And that's kind of an ironic because, I'm telling myself, I want to be free. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to answer anybody. And then she says, okay. And I'm like, wait a minute, And I carried a lot of resentment about that for a lot of years. But, they were willing to go to any lengths to protect themselves, which was a damn good idea. And I was willing to go to any lengths to get what I wanted. And what I thought I wanted was to be free. And so I left. And, a lot of my history sort of, a lot of the consequences from making that decision really started to take some shape. I was a runaway. Essentially, I wasn't really a runaway. I was given permission to do what I wanted to do. But I lived the life of a runaway, at 15. I lived on the streets in Los Angeles for a while. I've hitchhiked across the country about 5 times, years ago, and lived in, basements, slept on the side of the highways, lived in people's cars, stole to eat, grocery stores, just jamming stuff down my, down my pants to eat, doing things that I wouldn't normally have considered that I was willing to do, to not just to get high, but to get shelter, to get to get someone to care about me, things that I didn't really want to be doing, and all under the idea that I was getting some type of freedom, that I was getting on my own, and that to me was going to any lengths to get that, and I was willing to go to any lengths to get high because getting high sort of took, definitely took me out of what I was feeling, and it made me feel like it was okay, like I was okay, and I could put on whatever face I need to put on. Because when I grew up military family anyway, and we moved a lot, and if you grow up that way, you quickly realize that there isn't any sense in getting close to anybody because either you're leaving or they're leaving, and you're not going to be around them. So The downside to that is that for me, I never learned how to develop any kind of lasting relationships. The upside to that is you don't get to develop any lasting relationships. And you get into a very narrow world. But for an addict, it's great because you learn how to survive. Because you could drop me off anywhere in the country. Don't even tell me where I'm going, and I will adapt to whoever's there. I will wear the clothes you wear. I will talk the way you talk. I'll listen to the music you listen to. I'll get high on whatever it is that you're getting high on. It doesn't matter, because I will adapt so that I can survive. But freedom never really came. I was independent, sort of. I even don't like that word, because I was independent, but I was dependent on getting something from you. Even though I was making the decisions, I still needed you because I needed what you had. Whether it was your house or your car or your money or your dope or whatever. So you can adapt and run and roll, and nobody really has any control on you. That worked for a while. And I survived, for a while. And I lived and made it through all the things that we do. And I went to any lengths, to get that freedom. I hit bottom in 1986. I was introduced to this fellowship through a treatment center. Up until that point, I had been to jail. I had been to, another 12-step program and wasn't ready for it, didn't get it. And I wasn't attracted to anything there. I hadn't been attracted to anything that I saw, but when I was in that treatment center and people came in and brought Narcotics Anonymous meetings in there, I had hit a bottom, and I was open to something different. And what I saw, luckily, was people like me who dressed like how I was comfortable, who talked about the places and the things that they had done that I could relate to. And these people took, their Wednesday and Sunday evenings out of their day to come talk to me. And, something struck me that, these people weren't being paid. They weren't being coerced. They weren't, doing some community service work to get out. I mean, these people were taking time out of their day to come talk to addicts like me, or people like me that... and it wasn't that, I paid them, that they didn't get anything from me. They were doing this because it was helping them. Wow. That whole thing struck me. And that opened up my mind to think about, maybe this is possible for me, And that was for them going to any lengths. That was taking time out of their day and out of their life to come talk to me and bring this message of hope. And I didn't know that this was going to work for me that well, but at the bottom that I hit, I was ready for something. And I had tried, I had tried everything else. I had tried, the geographical cures, the not smoking green, just smoking dope, not shooting dope, snorting dope, I tried, not dating this girl, dating that, not living here, living in L.A., it's just like I tried everything else. And those people told stories like that to me. And they said, you have to be willing to, they said, if you put 50% of your effort into getting clean, that you put into, getting high, you can make this. And I thought, hell, I got nothing but 100% of my time. I'm not doing anything else. And so that concept was easy to swallow. And I was lucky that the group of people that I found when I got out of that place were people that were, I think the person that had the most time in the home group I had probably 2 years, and they walked on water as far as I was concerned. And those people taught me how to work this program, and that's how they did it. They went to any lengths. This program was fairly new in our area. Somebody handed me a meeting list from 1986 the other day. I don't know where he got it from. It's all wadded up. It's all wrinkled and stuff. But it's fall, winter, 1986, which is when I got clean. And I looked through there, and, there's only three meetings. There's three meetings in there that are still around. But in Montgomery County, that's about all there were, you know. And it took me right back to when I was new and going to those meetings and the feeling that I had when I went to those meetings. And I tell you, something happened to me when I went to those first couple of meetings. There was a guy in there who only had maybe, I think he had like 6 months at that time when I first started coming around. And I heard this guy sharing in that meeting some pretty heavy stuff about, you know, his past and the wreckage that he had created, you know, in somebody's life. And that was very similar to some records that I had created in somebody's life. And something, you know, one of those deep, dark, really buried secrets that you'll never talk about. And here's this guy in an open meeting in front of people he doesn't really know sharing about it. And, you know, that's going to any lengths. You know, that's saying, you know, that message that I got from that guy was, you know, this is going to help me. I don't care what it costs me, but this is going to help me. And I thought to myself, my God, you know, I didn't really know what the value of that was. I didn't know the value of doing a fourth and fifth step down. I didn't know the value of, like, the no secrets thing. But, he seemed to think that it was going to do him some good. And he was getting some relief from that. And I thought, man, that's the deal. And that guy has since passed away clean, which, you know, my hat is off. He had a disease that took him out a little slow, and, I get a lot of strength from people like that. Going to any lengths, I was told when I got here, was going to a meeting every day. Going to any lengths was getting a service position and being and making yourself a part of and being a part of. Going to any lengths was working the steps, you know. Wow, that's, you know. And I share that a lot, that, you know, this is, you know, for me when I was new, this was a go-to meeting, you know, go to this meeting every day, and that's what I did. But this is a 12-step program. There's 12 steps, you know, and that's how we learn, you know, who we are, where we come from, clean up some of that stuff, and move on into our lives and give this thing away. And that's what this program is about. You know, going to any lengths. It means, you think about that too, though, that, you know, going to any lengths does not necessarily mean, like, you know, missing work to go do something, you know. I mean, you know, this whole going to any lengths has to be some balance too, you know. I mean, I can tell you that I got so caught up in meetings and in service work and in trying to be a part of this thing that literally I lost a marriage over it. So, you know, you know, as an addict, you know, believe it or not, you can carry this thing a little too far, you know. And that's not going to any lengths. That's like obsessing over any lengths, I think. Because I wasn't taking care of myself, you know. I was thinking I'm being a part of because I'm putting myself in all these places, but I was really not taking care of myself. And that was a hard lesson to learn. And, you know, so... But the lengths that we're willing to go to, I think, you know, I draw on, you know, it's like I have sponsees that say, well, you know, I say, you know, you weren't at that meeting the other day. I know, well, you know, I went to work and had a bad day and, you know, I didn't get my sleep last night and, you know, I just didn't feel like going to a meeting. And I say, well, So when you were out there using, you know, when you had to go to work and you didn't sleep all night long and you were hungover and you did blah, 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 I guess, you know, you didn't really, you know, call up the dope man and go get high, you know. Well, no, you know. So, you know, going to any lengths is like going to, you know, keeping a commitment and going to a meeting that I said I was going to be at and making coffee at a meeting I said I was going to make coffee at, or meeting my sponsor or sponsee at a meeting I said I was going to be at, showing up. You know, we used to talk a lot about that around here, you know, showing up. That's going to any lengths. That's saying, you know, I'm going to be here and I'm going to meet you, and then showing up, you know. It isn't negotiable to me, you know. If I jump around a little bit too. If you know me, you know that I am passionate about recovery. in a very deep way. But I don't take myself or my life too seriously either. You know, I owe everything I have and my life literally to Narcotics Anonymous and what you guys gave me. But I also believe in having fun and reaping some of the rewards that I've been given as a gift for making the choice not to use today. And for the last 17 years, I've gotten a few gifts, you know. I mean, you begin to get a life. But I can't forget how I got here, you know. This is the biggest thing I hear from people who come back in, if they make it, is, you know, and I talk to them, you know. If they're not already singing, I'm asking, you know, what did you do? And what I hear is that, you know, things slipped away, you know, I got burned out on service work. My sponsor moved away. It kind of starts there, you know. And if I don't show up for recovery first, I don't get to have all those things, you know. And I like all those things, you know. I love where I am today in my life. I love who I am in my life today. And the only reason I have these things is because I showed up, you know, and I asked. And then I listened, you know, and then I served, you know. This program only works when those of us who have a little time give back, you know, going to any lengths. You know, it's been a while since I've sponsored people. My career choices have taken me in a number of different places, and for a while I wasn't too settled down. I was on the road a lot, and I didn't really sponsor. I got away from the whole sponsor thing, you know. I had a sponsor that I rarely ever talked to, and I didn't have any sponsees. I wonder why. And now I find myself with I find myself with some sponsees, and along with that comes a tremendous amount of responsibility, you know. And I tell people, you know, I don't get a whole lot of people to ask me, because if you watch, you know, if you're someone that comes around and you're looking for a sponsor and you listen to me, you'll know that I really don't pull many punches. You know, I'm going to tell you know, what the deal is. You don't have, you know, not everybody can recover my way. Not everybody will recover under Doug as a sponsee. But there are certain people, you know, just like for everybody. And if that's the kind of person that you need for a sponsor, I'm in, you know, because I'm not gonna sugarcoat this thing, because this to me is about life and death. Right. It's just that simple, you know. It isn't something I play with. I have a lot of fun. I play around, but when it comes to recovery and what's going on, and the program, it's really just one way, you know, and. That, you know, you have to be willing to go to any lengths, and you have to be willing to, you know, give yourself to your sponsor, and you have to be, as a sponsee, be willing to listen. You know, you don't have to like it, but you have to be willing to go to those lengths, and I do. It's become challenging for me here lately because I do all of a sudden find myself with some sponsees, and as I said, you know, it's a tremendous amount of responsibility, I think. And as someone who's been around a little while and is, you know, who's been asked to guide somebody in their recovery, which is, you know, maybe their life, that's a big responsibility. And I take it, you know, very seriously. And I'm in that place right now, though, actually, where it is a strain on my relationships, you know, on my family. And, you know, so it's, you know, this thing's, it can be a juggling act, you know, between, you know, telling my wife, I have to go do this, you know, because this guy is depending on me. And my wife telling me, well, I really need this, and I'm depending on you, you know. So, you know, that's kind of where a sponsor comes in, you know, to try to get that balance. Because you can wear this thing around anyway, you know, if you've been around long, one thing you get when you get a little bit of time here, you can rationalize anything. You know, the most absurd stuff, you know, to get what you think, you know. And you got all the language and all the program and all the words. It sounds really great, you know. But you got to look inside, you know, and be honest about really what's going on, you know. Because I can still talk myself into the most ridiculous shit, you know. And then listen to myself later going, who was that, you know. And my wife's looking at me like I'm nuts, you know, and my sponsor's like, you know, looking at me like, you know, like, okay, here we go, you know. Going to any lengths does mean, you know, that every day I'm an addict, every day I have to make a choice not to use, every day I have to do something for my recovery. I go to, you know, one thing about having sponsees, you go to a lot of meetings, you know. I'd gotten away from going, I went to, you know, one, two, you know, maybe three anniversary, but I go to a lot of meetings now, and I really feel, you know, and I hear it when these guys ask me, you know, looking for a sponsor, you know, they kind of, I'm looking for a sponsor, kind of dancing around, you know, what they're going to ask me, and well, I'm kind of looking for a sponsor, you know, and, you know, I'm listening to some people, and I kind of like what you have to say, and do you think you'd have enough time? Well, I mean, I really have to decide whether I have enough time, but, you know, in my life, you know, to take on that type of responsibility. But, you know, they need to decide, you know, whether they're willing to follow, you know. And whether they're willing to go to any lengths. I hate to keep talking about this one sponsee, but, you know, I was talking to him about coming down here to this convention. And, you know, and he just got a, you know, he's been struggling to find a job. Finally gets a job, you know, he's saying, well, I really, you know, I really should be, you know, going to work. I don't think I can make it down here, you know. I'm like, well, you know, you haven't been, first time really around, you really should try to make it to the convention. This is where, you know, this is your opportunity to go to a lot of meetings, talk to a lot of people, really get hooked up, really see what this thing's about. I said, man, you'll be amazed when you go to these speakers, and there's like, you know, 25, 3,000 addicts all sitting around. You'll just go nuts. And, well, you know, but yeah, but if I, you know, if I can't work this job and I'm not making any money, I'm not going to be able to get a car and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm thinking, you know what, dude, you don't need a car. In fact, you don't even need this job. What you need to do is take care of your recovery first. Now, you know, not all of us can say that, you know, not, I mean, certainly, I mean, I can't afford to lose my job, you know, to go to a convention, but, I think, you know, and that's what I'm saying. It has to, this, you know, going to any lengths has to be kind of relative to where you are in your recovery. And we have to be honest about that for ourselves. You know, my guy's, you know, 90 days clean, you know. Does he really need that job? I don't think, you know, weighing the priority, I think he probably can work it out. And the bottom line is, you know, he wasn't willing to, like, put himself out there and say, look, you know, new boss, I need to be doing something for myself, and can you work this out for me? Because let's face it, if it's the right thing to do, it's going to work out. You know, it always has for me. And bottom line is, you know, he opened that door, he asked the question without going into a whole lot of detail, and he got the green light. You know, so he's coming down, and that's going any lengths. You know, it's saying this isn't really something that I want to do, but I got somebody, you know, with that I've asked to guide me in this thing, telling me this is what I'm, you know, suggesting me that this is what I probably really need to do. So I need to, like, open the door. I need to open my mouth. I need to make that effort to go that extra length to get what is right for me, you know, what I need to do. Because without recovery, number one, the rest of it just goes away, you know. No job, no car, no house, no bills to pay, no girlfriend, no husband, no kids. And then, you know, then we got the jails, institutions, and death. You know, it's just that cut and dry. Going any lengths, you know, you guys have showed up, you know, first meeting of the convention on a Friday. You know, most of you probably, you know, missed your job today and came down last night or drove down here this morning to get here. That's going any lengths. I mean, you guys are the going any lengths people, you know, because you showed up the first meeting, you know, on the first day. And you'll probably be here till last meeting on the last day, you know. So, you know, you guys already know about going any lengths, you know. What we need to do is talk, you know, talk to the others, you know, the people that didn't make it into this meeting. You know, not that there isn't another good meeting to go to, you know, but, you know, this is a commitment. You know, this is, to me, is a life commitment. I didn't know that's what I'd signed up for when I got here. I thought I was just going to, like, you know, meet some new friends and maybe be able to hang in there for a little while. You know, 17 plus years later, I'm still here. I've watched all the changes that we've watched. If you've been around here, and this thing is still going on, you know, I've had the opportunity to travel, you know, a lot around the United States, a couple places outside the country. I was in London earlier this year. I went to a meeting out there. Very cool stuff. You know, and I love going on vacations. I love going places because I always think back to, you know, the using. You know, I couldn't, first of all, I probably couldn't afford to go anywhere. If I could afford to go anywhere, if I could afford to go to Ocean City, it's like, okay, well, I got this much money. Okay, well, that means I got to find, you know, the $29.95 hotel special because, you know, or maybe I'll just hitchhike down, save the gas money, you know, and because I got to have enough money to party with. What's cool, you know, and what's very different today is that, you know, one of the first things I do when I know I'm going to travel somewhere, if I'm not already going to a convention, you know, or, you know, to something recovery oriented, is get online and find a meeting, you know, because I need to get connected when I get there, you know. Now, I'm not going to lie and tell you I do that every time, but the opportunity is there, and there isn't an area that I've been into that there isn't a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. And for some of us, you know, being outside our network could be a hazardous, you know, place. And, you know, so going to any lengths and making that connection and walking into that meeting in that strange place, you know, that's going to any lengths. Taking care of our recovery first, even if you're on business or, you know, family or whatever, you know, getting hooked up, getting connected, making that effort. I mean, there really isn't any you know, any rocket science to this whole concept of going to any lengths. You know, it's just about, you know, remembering that I'm an addict first. Every morning when I wake up, I'm an addict first. You know, before anything else comes, you know, and the choice every morning is, you know, what am I going to do today? Now, you know, for me, it's gotten a little easier. I don't struggle with, you know, I don't struggle like I did in the beginning about, you know, not calling the dope man or, you know, not going to the places where I used to go. You know, that isn't really a struggle for me anymore. But, you know, where recovery starts to suffer for me today and what I have to be reminded of is, you know, what am I about today? You know, it's not necessarily about like I'm going to try not to shoot dope today. For me, it's about I'm going to do my best to be honest today. I'm going to do my best to make sure, you know, no lies fall out of my mouth. I'm going to do my best to not con anybody today. I'm going to do my best to drive responsibly. Nobody laughed because they don't. Not too many people in here know me. But you know, because those things are. Those things are what you know, start that little wheel turning, you know, that U-turn back to where I came from. You know, I have to remember who I am. And listen, you know, I'm in business today for myself. And there are a lot of things I could do to make a lot more money and take away something from somebody else. I could. And I'm not going to tell you that little voice doesn't come running through my head, you know, once a day that says, you know, you could just do this a little differently, you know. But that's what takes me because, you know, if it's okay for me to act that way, if it's okay for that lie to fall out of my mouth, if it's okay for me to con one person, then it might be okay to, you know, start meeting people in bars, you know. It might be okay for me to, you know, start going that other direction. And so, you know, for me today, you know, being an addict is all-encompassing. You know, or being a recovering addict, you know. It's not so much about using, although, you know, that's the ultimate goal, to make it through today without using. But so many of what I'm about as an addict is about how I carry myself and how I deal with, you know, you people. Or maybe not you people because you know me, but maybe the people out there, you know. They don't know who I am. And you know, I've got to go, and that to me is going to any lengths. That's the going to any lengths for me today, you know, doing the next right thing for the next right reason. This is a great convention. I'm excited about being here. I was really excited to be asked to speak here. I love, you know, Lost Streams Awaken. You know, I going back to where I came from and where I was when I was using, I know that I used to think like my life was going to be okay. I grew up in an area where, you know, there's a lot of life's comforts, you know. They weren't mine, but they were there. And I used to think, well, you know, I'll have that someday. You know, that'll be my life. But that life that I was leading, using, was never going to get me there. But I had those dreams, you know. And a beautiful thing happened to me when I got clean is that the options that I had in my head and the dreams that I had, I'm telling you, man, instantly became a possibility. You know, and I did the things that Rita was talking about. I didn't go to school. I don't even have a high school diploma. And I've never been to college, but I've done the things I've followed the interests that I've had, and I've chased after the things that I wanted to have in my life, and I've achieved, you know, and so many of those dreams have really come true for me. And I have, I mean, I'm not kidding. Everything that I have wanted to do, I've been able to do in recovery, and it's just an unbelievable, you know, journey. And with endless possibilities. And for me, you know, my the dreams that I have are reality today. And, you know, I've got others, and I know that as long as I stay clean, those are possibilities for me. Without recovery, it's nothing. I lose everything. And being able to live through it would probably be, you know, a miracle. And but I'm not willing to take that risk, you know. I was willing to take a lot of risks to lead the life that I had using. And I'm willing to lead, to take some risks to lead the life I want today. But the one thing I'm not willing to risk is using and going back to that life, because it never worked then. It's not going to work now. Have a great convention. I'm really excited to see everybody here. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing, Doug. I just got a couple things I want to say, and then we're going to close the meeting. So if you want to say a prayer and do a great big hug with the rest of us, hold on just a minute. I am Betty, and I'm an addict. I think it's really appropriate that they chose this meeting for me to secretary, because going to any lengths is so important. I mean, if you don't, you can't. I can't make it unless I put everything I have into this. This has to be my number one priority, and I didn't understand that when I was using. I thought my kids were the most important thing, or my husband, or my job. I won't have any of that stuff if I don't have this. And what I wanted to share with you guys was this convention right here, my little area of Tri-County, is putting on the convention, and we are small. We have 3 counties. We only have 20 meetings. And we did all this, and this is a lot. We had to put in a lot of time, and that just goes to show me that we can do anything we put our mind to. And there was a lot to go into this. Oh, my God, it was a lot of work. And I was here a long time ago, and I had relapsed, and I am back. And Monday will be my one-year anniversary, and I am thank you. I wasn't looking for applause, but I just wanted to say I am so glad to be back, and I am so blessed, and thank you for letting me have the privilege to do the service work and be here, and thank you for being here for me. For those of you who shared, thank you very much for being here. And we'll close the meeting with a moment of silence, and we'll do our circle and do the serenity prayer. Thank you, everyone.